Amen. Good morning, radio listeners. Well, this is Brother Johnny, the altar call program, and I want to say a personal thank you for each one of you tuning us in this fine Sunday morning. And I hope as you listen to this broadcast that you're preparing to go to church and Sunday school, maybe riding down the road, maybe you give me a few minutes of your time. Maybe if you can't open your Bible, you're driving to church, maybe you might be able to just jot these scriptures down. I want to give you something. I want to be a blessing. Every time the broadcast comes on, I hope and pray that it'll be a source of encouragement to those that are saved, and that if you're not saved, that there might be able to be something that might be said and done that might be able to help you. Amen. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to say who we're going to dedicate the broadcast to. But I'd like to say at the time this broadcast comes on, I'll be way down the state of Alabama. We'll be starting off a camp meeting. We've been starting off down there for years. And my friend, during this week, if you would like to go with us back and forth from Shelbyville down there, we'll have four services a day. And we're going to have four services a day. We're going to have, we'll serve three meals a day. And we will have dormitories for the men, dormitories for the women. And I'll furnish you free transportation from here to there if you'd like to go. It's an old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting. And so I hope and pray that if you would like to go, then just pick up the phone and call Brother Johnny. We'd be so happy to do it. I'm so excited. I just can't praise the Lord enough for the response that I got of last week's broadcast. Amen. I'm just so excited about that. I thank God for it. You know, a lot of times we have people write us questions. A lot of people ask us questions. Some is serious. Some is foolish. A young preacher asked me a while back, said, Brother Johnny, how do you know when you're called to preach? I say, well, as far as myself, amen, I'm like most of it, they have confessed to it, amen. The real way that you know you're called to preach is you wake up one morning, you don't want to go to work, and you got a craving for chicken. Amen. Amen. And so at this camp meeting we're going to, we're going to have lots of chicken because it's an old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting. Amen. And so we'll have chicken. Amen. In fact, every revival or camp meeting I go preach at, I tell them all the time, I said, I've eaten chicken hot, I've eaten chicken cold, I've eaten chicken young, I've eaten chicken old, I've eaten chicken tender, I've eaten chicken tough. And after about two weeks, I say, praise God, I've eaten chicken enough. Amen. I believe that that's why the Baptist National Anthem is, why they like to sing that song, because they eat so much chicken, it's all fly away. Amen. Amen. Well, to the serious side, who we want to dedicate the broadcast to, I got a message that I really want to preach here this morning, and I hope and pray that it will be a blessing to you. But my friend, I want you to know, up under the sound of my voice, if you're God's child, if you have trusted Him, and He has washed your sins away, listen, I want you to know, my friend, you're a winner. You're not a loser, amen. Now, I'll tell you what, you'll be a loser, amen, if you don't attend an old-fashioned Baptist church, amen. You're automatically a loser, amen. Now, I know that you'll be, that you can be saved and belong to other denominations, but if you want to be, somebody asked me one time, said, Brother John, do you believe the Baptist is the only one that's going to heaven? No, sir, I don't believe that. But do you want to go to heaven first class? Amen. So then you ought to join you. Amen. That's why I tell them all the time, like John the Baptist. John the Baptist studied for 20 years and then only preached 6 months and got his head cut off. Most of you birds, amen, you want to preach, amen, you want to preach 20 years and study for 6 months. Is that right? I heard about this week, said in a church in the restroom, in the men's restroom, they had one of those electric hair blow, one of those hand blowers that dries your hands. And taped on the front of this hand dryer was a sign up. They had said, come hear our pastor's latest sermon. Just push this button. Amen. In other words, wasn't nothing but a bunch of hot air. Amen. And pastor up on the side of my voice, I hope that that's not you. I hope, amen, amen, that the sheriff, listen, don't have no warrant for your arrest, wanting to arrest you for attempting to preach. Amen. Amen. I hope it's not. I hope you're an old-fashioned, a Baptist preacher that loves God and preaches without fear, favor, or compromise to man. Hallelujah to God for that. That wasn't a Baptist, I'd shout all over the place. Amen. But anyway, I'd like to say who I want to dedicate the broadcast to. To Miss Marjorie Dobbins. Amen. Come to me this week, said, but I want you to know I listen to that broadcast. Amen. And I appreciate that. I really do. I hope each and every one of them sound my voice. I call folk early during the week and tell them the old country preacher's back on the air, live and in living color. Amen. And not only that, but to Mary and Clarence Ewan. Amen. Amen. They've listened to us for a number of years on other radio stations and stuff and on broadcasts. And so I want to thank them so much for taking a few minutes of their time to listen in. And to Brother Joe and Sister Melba Taylor, lives over in Petersburg. God bless you. Amen. Brother Taylor, he's a pastor over at the Fellowship Baptist Church over there in Petersburg. Amen. Young preacher. Amen. Fired up. Amen. Learning more about that Bible every day. Amen. Isn't that a blessing, though? I want to give you a verse of scripture you up on the side of my voice. You ought to jot this down and remember this, my my friend. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, I've been saved for 30 years. I've never heard this text preached on, and it's talking about the Lord. The Lord says this in Luke 6, 35, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, isn't that something? That's what kind of God that we serve. And then, you know, my friend, if you're on the sound of my voice, and even if you're not saved, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is good to you. He blesses in spite of you. My friend, why don't you turn your life over to him? Why don't you trust him? Why don't you do that, my friend? Now, here, I got a question that I want to give you before we turn to our Bible. And our Bible, if you want to jot this down, if you're driving to church, if you'd turn over to Psalms chapter 55, where we'd like to preach to you for a while this morning. In Psalms chapter 55. But I got a question that I'd like to ask you. Do you feel betrayed? Do you feel hurt? Do you feel so deep by that someone that you have trusted and that has broke your heart? It might be a son. It might be a daughter. It might be a husband. It might be a mom. It might be a dad. It might even be a friend of yours. I want you to know that Jesus knows all about it. And that if there was anybody that has ever been misunderstood, if anybody has ever been betrayed, if anybody's been brokenhearted, I'm telling you, the Lord knows how it feels to be forsaken. That's why the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2, 22 and verse 1, Psalmist David saying with the Lord himself on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And my friend, I want you to know, according to Psalms chapter 22 and verse 14, Christ died of a broken heart. I mean, whenever you look at him and you tell him, you say, Jesus, the reason I don't go to church and the reason I don't do things is they just don't like me. He says, my child, they didn't like me either. And you say, well, Lord, the reason that I fell out of church and the reason I don't do things is they talk about me. He says, honey, they talked about me too. And you say, well, listen, my children, nobody don't understand. They broke my heart. He says, they broke mine too. Now listen, my friend, amen. Now listen to what Brother John is trying to tell you. I want you to know the Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Everything that has ever happened to you, he knows all about it. But as I said earlier, thank God we serve a God of the second chance. Hallelujah to God for that. He said unto Jonah the second time. He called unto Jonah the second time. He called unto Elijah the second time. And I'm telling you, he's a calling you here this morning to come and to get right. Now, my friend, here's the question I want to ask you. Have you felt like giving up? Has the pressure been so strong on you? Have you just felt like that you could just get out all over this country? We got preachers quitting the ministry right and left. We got moms walking off every day, leaving husbands, leaving kids, and never coming back no more. Listen, is that right? We got runaway dads. They go down to get a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk and don't never come back no more. We got people that just want to escape and want to get away. And my friend, listen, if anybody ever felt that way, in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 2, listen, Jeremiah felt that way. A preacher himself, he said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. Oh, Jeremiah wanted to escape. Jeremiah wanted to get away. I know, bless God, when I used to pastor a church, amen, every Monday morning, I was ready to resign. I was ready to get out of the way. Amen, just ready to get to escape. Now, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 55 and in verse 6, the Bible said in verse 6, and David said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest, and lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Now, I want to tell you something. Here's the king of the land. Here's the man that, listen, had stalls full of stallions. Here's the man that had a fleet of ships. Here's the man that had a palace but didn't have no peace. Here's the man that had an army but he didn't have no assurance. And all of a sudden, here's the man that killed the lion and the bear. Here's the man that had killed Goliath. And something had so crushed him in his life, my friend, that he asked God one day in Psalms 55 and in verse 6, God, I'll trade everything. I'll trade the palace. I'll trade the armies. I'll trade my ships. I'll trade everything I've ever had, the fastest chariot in the land, for a simple set of dove wings. God, give me a set of dove wings. My friend, if you've ever studied the dove is undoubtedly one of the most unique birds that ever was. A dove can fly away out of a tree. He can sail, he can soar with one wing while the other one rests. And that's what David says. God, give me the set of dove wings so I can be in rest, so I can just escape and get away. Now, my friend, what had happened to David? What had happened to him? The king of the land. You you'd have thought he'd have been the richest person in the world. But my friend, he was so discouraged that something had so hit him, that something had so knocked the breath out of King David, that he said, God, I trade it all. I'm ready to escape. I'm ready to get away from here. My friend, I want to give you some points here on some things. I don't care what you own. I don't care how rich you are. But there's some days that you just like to escape and leave and never get out. You might have been sitting up in the hospital, Carter, maybe with a sick mom or a sick dad or maybe a son. But I want to tell you why, what happened to David. The Bible says, listen, in Psalms chapter 3, the subtitle of Psalms chapter 3, and the Bible said, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. This is what had happened to Psalmist David in the 55th Psalm. The Bible said that he was fleeing for his own life from his son. Now, I'm going to tell you some things, my friend, that'll make you want to take dove wings if you want to jot this down. The first thing that'll make you want to take dove wings and fly away from all your problems is a rebellious member of your family. You take a rebellious member of your family. That was David. David didn't want to fight his son. David was a warrior. David could have killed him anytime. David was a giant killer and a bear killer and a lion killer. But he said, I can't fight my own son. And it so hurt him and so knocked the breath out of him. He just wanted to just fly away and get out of the way. And I'm telling you the Lord's truth, my friend. Maybe today, as you listen to this broadcast, there might be a rebellious member in your family or somebody that's just breaking you down and tearing you down. Listen, one of the greatest preachers that ever blessed this country was a man by the name of Billy Sunday. His greatest sermon that he ever preached was against alcohol and booze. You know, like Jack Daniels makes up there, the preachers in Moore County's got the hush mouth about that they don't open their mouth about. Amen. Amen. But anyway, what Brother John is trying to tell you, there was Billy Sunday preaching those famous messages. And while he preached on the outside, his own son was on the outside of the building breaking whiskey bottles against the building. Don't you know that at night when Billy Sunday would lay his head on the pillow, he'd say, oh, God, I wish I had the wings of a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Lord, I just can't stand this pressure no more. My friend, do you feel that way? I was listening last week to Charles Stanley when he said on national TV that he didn't want no divorce from his wife, but his wife went on and filed for divorce from him anyway. I want you to know that, don't you know, the way that preachers run their mouth and they cut other preachers down and they talk about it. He was saying, don't divorce me. Don't you know that there's been many a time they were saying, you're going to have to leave your church and you're going to have to step down. Don't you know that he was just saying, I wish I had the wings of a dove, then would I like to fly away. Amen. Dr. Charles Weigel, the great man that wrote that song, Nobody Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, is the very one. His wife came to him and said, Charles, I'm not going to live with no Baptist preacher. I can't stand to be a preacher's wife. And that's when Charles Weigel sat there that day, laid his head on the piano and wept and cried. He said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Charles, nobody, wow, glory to God, ever cared for you like Jesus. And he sat there and wrote that immortal hymn, Nobody Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, my friend, something that'll make you want to take dove wings and fly away is a rebellious member of your family. I'll tell you one thing. I had to listen when I got saved. My daughter was 9 years old all of her life. All she'd ever done was wore pants and shorts and I went to the picture show and done anything just like any lost person would do. And I'm telling you, the Lord said that people begin to preach to me and I begin to tell her, I took her out of public school. I put her in Christian school. I took her out of her shorts and pants and I got rid of the TV. I did everything that I was told to do. But my little girl inside of her heart, she began to rebel against her daddy. And she said, Daddy, I can't take that. Daddy, listen. All these years I've seen you one way. I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. And listen, and I began to take all these things away from her. And she ran away from home. And listen, it broke my heart. Many a time I'd get up to preach and the devil would say, you ain't got no right preaching your own girl. I won't even get up under your domination. And she ran away from home. But one night, amen, that my phone rang. It was Turk Cotis Hudson of the Sword of the Lord. He called and said, Brother Johnny, I want you to know, amen, we just got a letter here from your little girl. She's down in Lake Charles, Louisiana, amen, and she got saved at the First Baptist Church. Wow, glory to God. I want you to know, my friend, amen, do you know what I did? I went out there and seen that little girl. Oh, Lord, we have such a neck hugging. You wouldn't believe the neck hugging. And listen, it's just not that I compromise, not that I give up. But my friend, I want you to know that there's some things that'll make you want to fly away as a rebellious member of your family. I'll tell you something else that'll make you want to have dumb wings. It's the relentless memory of sin. You see, the sin that I did before I got saved don't bother me so much. But it's the sin that I've done since I got saved that paused in my mind. That's why David wrote five different psalms talking about the sin that he did with Bathsheba. He's five different times. He said, my sin is ever before me. He could never get over what he done. My friend, you up on the sound of my voice. I want to ask you a question, my friend. You up on the sound of my voice. Have you got to the place like David? Has something so crushed you? Has something so broke you down like David? Maybe rebellious member of your family? If you read a little bit further in that 10th, 11th, and 12th verse, David begins to talk about that it was a friend of his, too, that it broke his heart. He's looking at verse 14. He said, we took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God in company. My friend, if something that'll hurt you is a respected friend, it'll make you want to take dumb wings if he turns his back on you and backstabs you like Judas did Christ. The relentless memory of sin. David never could get away what he done in his life and his sin. A rebellious member of your family will so crush you and break your heart and knock the wind out of you that you don't ever think you'll get up. Oh, but I want you to know, I got good news on the other side of my voice. I know a Savior that has suffered and hurt just like you did. And when you call him and say, God, I'm hurting, he said, I know it, my child. And I want you to know I got plenty of grace for you. And my friend, why don't you let it? Now listen, I heard this week that some folks with Bedford Manor is listening to the broadcast. Why don't you just kneel down beside that couch and say, God, help me. God, help me. Help me to get out of this place and go to an old-fashioned Baptist church, live an old-fashioned Baptist preaching. And I know God will bless you, my friend. And you understand my voice, you're not saved. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. May God bless you. Till next broadcast. Pray for Brother John as we're down in Alabama and Virginia next week. God bless you.